It is January the 25th, 2012. I am Steve Gerwick, the webmaster of www.gerweck.net, Gerwick.net, your source for all your pro wrestling, MMA news. And tonight I welcome a very special guest to the show, a former WWE Divas champion. She competed in the Divas Search. She was a co-host on NXT and also for a time managed Ted DiBiase. Tonight I give you the very sexy Maurice. How you doing tonight, Maurice?
I'm doing good. I liked your introduction.
Well, I appreciate that.
I like that you mentioned the word sexy. Well, they usually call me the sexiest of sexy, but as long as you say sexy, that's all right.
Well, you're always saying be sexy, and you certainly are sexy, so the compliment is well deserved.
Well, it's an art to be sexy, you know?
Let's start like kind of from the beginning, because obviously the WWE Universe came to know you in 2006 with the Diva Search. But prior to that, what were you doing, and how did the Diva Search competition come about for you?
I was living in Montreal, Canada, and I remember going to my friend's house and watch the shows, and this was like about 2003. 2002, 2003, and first of all, I started watching because I love Jeff Hardy. So he's really the first one that made me kind of caught my attention. And I started to follow and get to know all the characters, and then you start to love that, and you want to watch it every week, and there's just no end to it. And my friends heard about Diva Search, and I was like, they talked to me about it, but I mean, I didn't know if I was going to do it because I couldn't speak any English. So they sent all my information to Stanford without telling me. And I got a phone call back. And they said, well, we love, we would love to know more about you. Could you do a video for us? A video of 20 seconds that would explain why you would like to be in the WWE. That's funny, right? Because I had no idea what was going on. But I said, yes, of course. So we did the video in my kitchen in Montreal, and my friend would hold the signs with the words and the sentences because I couldn't speak. So basically, they were doing, the little teleprompter when you can't, when you don't know your text, you have to read it. So basically, that's what we did, and they called me back. They loved the video, and they asked me to come to LA for an audition. So that's where it first really started. And then I got to LA, did the audition, got picked up for the Monday Night Raw, the 8th finalist, and it started from there. I mean, I didn't go far in the Diva Search. I was the second one to get nominated, but I got signed for OVW at the time, so everything worked out, but oh my gosh, I remember getting into on the stage for Monday Night Raw and getting on national TV, and I had no idea how to speak, and they asked me, so you have 15 seconds, so why would you like to be in the WWE? I was like, oh boy, I can say it in French, but I can't say it in English, especially, it's really stressful. I had no idea what was going on, so when I think about it now, it's so funny. It's 360 completely, from where I was to now. So I just laugh about it.
Well, Layla was the one that actually won the 2006 Diva Search, yet they did sign a number of the girls that competed in that Diva Search. I guess when they called you or they wanted you to be, signed to a developmental deal, I guess that's when you really had to kind of embrace that, okay, if I'm going to do this, I'm going to go to, OVW and eventually to Florida Championship Wrestling, and I'm going to learn to actually take bumps, and I'm actually going to do this. And, you come back from a glamour model. All of a sudden, you're in this sweaty ring taking bumps and locking up with other trainees. Well, that had to be kind of a culture change for you. Not only was the language, but to go inside a squared circle to actually learn how to wrestle.
Hey, you explained it like 100% better than I would. it's totally what it is. And I always loved sports when I was young. And that's the thing, though. People would look at me and think that, I'm this little model. And it's always a little bit, it's true. You know, we're women. I'm a woman. I'm like, I look really fragile. I don't look like I would do what I've done. And that's kind of like the beauty of the thing, right? You wouldn't think so. So I feel like all the sport that I've done when I was young and all those moments that really kind of like prepared me for what I was doing in Louisville, because I've done a lot, and I just love that. It was like, to me, when I moved to Louisville, I mean, taking the bumps, and it's physically really hard, and I've seen a lot of people come and go, and it's funny because I've seen guys come and go, you know, and I just really love that. I would stay hours in the ring, just loving it. So it's, it was a total different sport, but it just felt like a combat sport still, which I always, which I'm a big fan of. So I had so much time in the ring. I passed so many hours, and you know, it's really hard. Like, if I think if I had to do it again, I would. And it's just crazy how your body adapts to all of this. It still hurts, you know, after months and years, but I feel like it really adapts from what it was to what it is today. It's crazy.
Can you talk a little bit about your training and maybe who, you know, the trainers and who helped you the most to eventually get to where you were and to be a WWE diva?
I feel like the one that really helped me is Alfno. And he is the guy that explained to me that in the ring, it is not a question of moves. Obviously, you need to be able to wrestle, but it is not a question of moves. It is a question of personality. It's being able to make the crowd relate to you. They can't via moves. They do when you talk, when you act, when you're a character, and that's really what will get them. You know, you can go so far with moves. You know, we're not the Cirque du Soleil, you know. We don't sell tickets for being really acrobatic and doing crazy stuff. Of course, guys do, and girls do sometimes. They do have really set of moves that's unbelievable, but they're really talented. But it's mainly, and that's what I believe, it's the character, the charisma, the personality, the way you carry yourself. You got to be different. And it's really what else no make us understand when we were there. And obviously, Chip Stanley, where I work with him a lot in WWE, I love, he just gets the woman. Women are different than men, you know. And Chip Stanley was really good to work with the women. And I, you know, love Fitz, such a sweetheart. So, yeah, I would say else no and Chip Stanley.
Now, you were on both shows. You were on SmackDown and Raw. That was actually one time where you were drafted from SmackDown to Raw. I was wondering what the difference is in the two shows from a perspective of the workers. Does it feel like Raw is the A show and B is the SmackDown, SmackDown is the B show? Because obviously Raw is always a live show and SmackDown is always taped the next night. Did you get that feeling that you went from SmackDown to Raw,
like,
that you moved up to the A show?
Well, I felt like Raw was more stressful because Raw, like you said, is live, so there is no chances for you know, you do it once and it has to be perfect. You don't have a second take. So a lot of the pre-tapes and like the matches obviously are live, so you know, when the show starts, everything needs to be ready on spot, on time, and everybody needs to be, you know, ready. So obviously, it's a little bit more stressful because you feel it backstage. You know, it has to roll. You know, the show's on and it's on TV, so you can't edit, you can't change, or you can't modify anything on the show. So, yeah, I mean, for that, I would say that. Why, that's what makes the SmackDown and Raw really different. And you feel it, like I said, backstage. You can feel it. And just, you would say, oh, just because it's live, it's a big deal. That's a big deal.
I wondered also, the creative process in WWE, obviously they have the writers that come up with storylines and develop characters. I wondered if you had any input into your character, or did they always kind of lay everything out for you and, you know, told you, you know, exactly what they wanted, or did you have a little bit of influence in your, the development of your character?
When I first started, I was coming from SCW, and they wanted me to be a babyface on TV. And I didn't want to be a babyface because I was always a babyface and developmental. And they've never seen me really play the heel, and I wanted to be a heel. And they were not sure. I mean, I asked them, just give me a chance. I'll show you I can be a heel. And I got lucky. They listened to me. They gave me a chance, and I started to be a heel on TV, and it stayed my entire career at WWE. So that's pretty awesome.
That's pretty amazing. Yeah. Now that I think about it, now that we've seen your career, they wanted you to be a babyface because obviously you're such a great heel.
Yes, nobody. I remember Dean Melancholy telling me, "Oh my God, I don't know. You so look like a babyface. I'm not sure you can be a heel. Actually, I mean, I think you should be a babyface." And I was telling everybody, no, I want to be a heel. And
I think you were right.
Well, to me, it's just characters. I believe I could have been a babyface and be good at it. It's just to make people believe what you want them to believe, right?
Sure. Absolutely. I wondered, looking back at your WWE career, do you have a favorite angle or match that, you know, when you think back at your career, like, that really stuck out as maybe a highlight of your WWE experience?
Winning the Divas Championship the first time, obviously, was one of the biggest nights of my life. The second time, you know, it was the second time. It could never be like the first time. But I was still freaking out. That was amazing. And then I would say climbing the ladder during the Money in the Bank match. I was the first woman to do it, and to have all those mega superstars laying on the ground around the ring, you know, I won't name it because there's a ton. That was just amazing. And I could have won the Money in the Bank if I would have liked to. You know, I was so close. I could have. I don't know what have, oh my gosh, I don't know what would have happened after, but I could have won it. I'm just joking. It was just crazy, a crazy night for real.
Now, you had some great opponents and you had some interesting feuds. Was there anybody that you didn't get a chance to work with that you were kind of looking forward to, you know, working with somewhere down the road?
I would have loved to work with in the storyline with Beth Phoenix. I love Natalya and Beth Phoenix. I wish I would have had a chance to work with them. Yeah, I mean, and I'm a big fan of Lita, so if Lita would have still be around, hopefully I would have, you know, I'm not going back to wrestling, but Lita, obviously, if I would have still have one match to have, I'd probably want to have a match with her.
You said you were done with wrestling. Is there anything that could entice you to go back into wrestling at any point?
I say joking, I would accept $1 million and a match at WrestleMania.
So if Vince is listening, $1 million, WrestleMania, then you could have your match with Lita.
Yes, for one match.
One night only return.
Yeah, right. Well, like it's another laugh when I say that.
It's like, you know, you did the Diva Search and you went to developmental and you won the championships and you had some great feuds, you had some great matches. There is really no unfinished business for you. You really accomplished what you set out to accomplish in WWE.
Well, thanks for saying that, because sometimes people seem really sad when they talk about, oh, you left WWE, and I'm like, yeah, but I was with WWE for 6-7 years. I had an amazing time. I really did. I mean, I traveled. I've been everywhere. You know, my 20s were amazing. I'm still in my 20s, but I'm saying that was just amazing. And I did everything I could possibly, you know, for women. I mean, there's more to be accomplished, but I've done a lot. Like, my two championships, my first one, you know, I have the record of, you know, I'm all undefeated for that, on that sense, because I try and speak English too fast and hard. Because, you know, I hold on to my championship for for 216 days, which is the record. So, yeah, beat that now, you know.
You're in the record books.
You know, and I've done a lot. So, and I feel like my character is a character that people will remember. I was not just in and out. I mean, I feel like I had my place in the WWE, and I had a good time, and, you know, I've done a lot. So I'm happy with it, and now it's time to kind of like jump to do bigger and better. So that's how I feel about it.
Yeah, you were mentioning that you're still in your 20s. I just wanted to wish you a belated happy birthday.
Thank you. It's funny I said that, like I just passed the 30s, and I'm not yet.
So I hope you had a nice birthday there that just passed.
Yes, thank you.
No problem. I wondered, you know, with you leaving WWE, and of course there's the WWE Universe they always talk about, the fans out there. What do you miss most about leaving?
Well, I miss doing my character. I miss having fun doing it. You know, it's so much fun to be able to get out the curtain, walk down the ramp, do your character, go through a match, and make people react the way you want them to react. And that's like the main thing for me. And obviously I had some good girlfriends over there that I used to hang out every week, you know, because we're always together. So I would say, you know, traveling with the girls, laughing, having fun, all that girl time as well.
What was your, how would you describe the experience doing the co-host of NXT? Did you enjoy that? It was the new challenge that, you know, wasn't managing or wasn't an in-ring diva?
I just wish I would have had a little bit more guide. They would guide me a little bit more because I was Marie the heel. And then they kind of throw me in the ring as Marie, you hope NXT, but you're not the heel. So, you know, it's kind of awkward a little bit at the beginning, but I try to have fun with him. It's certainly not something I was used to do and never hosted like that before. And, you know, I feel like I'm kind of laughing. You know, it's I like my character. The Marie's character was way more fun. But, you know, there's something different, something I kind of tried. And when they asked me, I wasn't sure because of the fact that the host had to kind of be neutral. And, you know, I took it as a compliment from all the other girls and guys they asked me, but at the same time, I kind of had to figure it out exactly what they wanted. And sometimes it can be hard because you don't really know where the show's going, what's going on. Now it's a week by week. So it's, it can be difficult at times, but, no, I liked it. It was fun. It was an entire hour you know, things that I can't even remember. Like, I remember the show being so, I would get there and then they would tell me, like, 5 minutes before the show goes on, okay, this is what's going on. You know? So.
Wing it.
Yeah, NXT was, oh my God, Marie, by the way, segment 5, this is what's going on. So I'm like, okay, great. it would change things of the show as the show goes on. So I would come back and then laugh because of, oh, okay. I think the first month, I would kind of freak out a little bit, but then I was just laughing about it. You know, when you start something new, you're not sure, but then you get used to it a little bit.
I also wondered, what was your experience managing Ted DiBiase? Did you enjoy that as well?
Yeah, I liked working with Ted. He's a great guy. I just wish that WWE would have give us a little bit more. Like, in, like, you know, when I say get more, I mean get involved a lot more with creative writers and storylines. And I believe that year that we could have made it to Mania. I'm sure we could have, but I mean, it's it goes from both parts, you know, we kind of, there's just so much you can do. So I think that we could have been bigger than what we were.
Yeah, I think they kind of put you with Ted because, you know, Ted had come up. He was the son of the million-dollar man, Ted DiBiase. And it's like, obviously, he's somebody they really want to push hard. I mean, they have, like, Cody Rhodes, the the son of the American Dream, Dusty Rhodes. And yet it seems like, you know, even with you and some of the other things they've done with him, he's not quite clicked with the fans. What do you think he really needs to do to kind of get over with the WWE Universe?
I mean, so then you're asking me what Ted DiBiase has to do.
Yeah.
Well, like I said, I feel like it's more microphone time, more involvement from the creative. You know, sometimes it's a little bit of help from the back that would really help, you know, in the front. So I think that's what it is. I mean, you're really coming from the back, from the creative, from management. So that's what I believe, so.
I wonder, too, about Awesome Kong that came in, Karma.
Yeah.
Obviously, they brought her in. It seems like, you know, they were giving her this monster push. She was going to tear up the Divas division, and then all of a sudden, you know, they had to stop it.
She was pregnant.
She was pregnant, I thought, of all the time in your career. To be pregnant was when you finally made it to WWE. You know, you were in TNA, you were in the Independents, and you're on WWE television. They're giving you this monster push, and then I have to take a break because I'm pregnant. I'm sorry.
That was the most unbelievable. Wow. Capital letter, wow. You know, congrats to her. She's pregnant. She's going to, I don't know if she had the baby yet, but I mean, obviously she was really happy with that. But yeah, you're totally right. I mean, some people work all their life to finally make it there. And like she did, she's been all over the world and she finally gets the WWE, and you know, she hits her finisher, you know, her big finisher, and all the Divas, and to finally leave, you know. I mean, it's like you can't know those things, you know, like I'm pregnant. I mean, I don't know. It's like, okay, you can't wrestle, obviously, so we'll see you back next year.
Well, obviously, the plan obviously is to bring her back at some point. Do you think they'll ever kind of give her that monster push again, or do you think this was the chance?
Karma is so different, you know. She is so different, and WWE, you never know. You absolutely never know what's going to happen. So I can't not, I couldn't ever answer your question, because one day can be one thing and the other day it'll be something else. I mean, I'm sure the doors will still be open. I mean, I don't know. It's really hard to tell. You would have to ask John Laurinaitis, and you would have to ask Vince McMahon. You know, I can't answer that question, really.
You know, that's interesting, because one of the things we always hear about creative, in fact, you know, people ask me questions like, what are they going to do with this character? What are they going to do with this character? Now, I'll hear something, and then, you know, within a short time, I hear they're going to change their mind, going to go in this direction. Was that kind of common with storylines and angles and characters, where they come up with this idea and then within a short time they totally change their mind and they're totally going in different directions?
Well, I feel like it's the same in TV too. They do that. They'll go in one direction and change their mind last minute. Yeah, they do. I mean, I feel like it's not just WWE. I feel like it's everybody else. Like indies in general, yeah.
The entertainment field in general.
Yeah.
Yeah. What was your reaction to Gail Kim leaving?
I know Gail was not really happy with what's going on with the women's division, and she just wasn't happy anymore. It's not what she wanted, so she left because she wanted better. I was sad because I love Gail, but we kind of still keep in contact. Like we'll talk to each other once a month on the phone, and you know, she's Canadian, so that's a plus. Just joking. Oh my god, I love Gail. She makes me laugh. She makes me laugh, this girl.
Now, WWE originally had Tough Enough, and then they brought it back, you know, last year. What would you think of WWE bringing back the Diva Search competition?
I mean, it's all right. I mean, new faces are always good. One thing, though, I would say is right now I feel like the WWE management are not putting much work into the women's division. So I would think that before they would do something like that, maybe they would want to put their energy into the actual women's division instead of trying to go outside and find new women and and try to bring them in something that's not really working.
Do they have people in general that work with the divas, like specifically, or is it the divas are just incorporated into the storylines and writing that, you know, the writers come up with something for everybody across the border? Is there people that kind of work specifically with the divas division?
No.
I wanted to ask you about, obviously, you departed ways with WWE. What was the circumstances surrounding, you asking for your release or you being released? And how does it feel to be kind of gone from the company now for, what, last 3 or 4 months?
Well, it's a mutual thing. You know, I wanted bigger, and like I said, I wanted bigger, I wanted better. I wanted to jump into other personal things, personal projects, and that wasn't possible with WWE. And they knew I wanted to do that, and they knew that, you know, I would do it no matter what. So that's really what I wanted to do, and that's really what I was working on. So we kind of, you know, my contract was up in April 1st, and I was in the injury. I just had surgery for my hernia, so I was in the I wasn't booked. So, you know, it's like, do I come back for 6 months and then leave, or do I just, you know, part ways right now? So that was a big question, and so we just decided that, you know, it's like a good relationship that just hand up and, okay, good luck, you know, that's it, as simple as it is. So I got the phone call from Johnny Laurinaitis, and Johnny was really nice. That was really nice, and that's it. Good luck to you, and good luck to you.
I wonder, too, obviously, you, of course, The Miz are together, and, you know, at one point there was John Morrison and Melina. How hard is it to be kind of a couple and be on the road with wrestling? Obviously, you guys travel together, and you know, you're part of the storylines and the product. Is that hard, or is it kind of easy because you're always together at the same time as well?
Yeah, totally. I mean, yeah, we were always very professional. When I would be at TV or at live events, you know, my work is my work and your work is your work. I mean, sometimes we would be at Monday Night Raw and not even talk to each other the entire day. Not because we didn't want to talk to each other, but because he was so busy doing a million things and I would be so busy with the girls doing another thing that we would cross each other in catering and say, oh, hi, how's your day? Good, okay. See you a little bit, you know. So you're so busy that you don't even have time to talk or you know, chit chat. So, you know, sometimes in the live event, you know, for sure we'd be traveling together, but we barely see each other during the day because of work. So at night we'd be traveling together, and when it comes to, it's fun because we traveled all over the world together. We've seen like 25 countries together, so we get a chance to visit things that I would have never done. I would have never go to Czech Republic for vacation. I've been in those countries, like the weirdest places, like you know, Serbia or Qatar or Afghanistan or Iraq, all those places that you would never go, but then we've been there together, so we have a nice album of pictures, you know. But yes, it can be kind of hard. You know, it's a hard business to be traveling like this, and it's a lot of you gotta be really professional. You know, what's work, it's work, and what's personal, it's personal. So I think that's the way to go. And as long as you don't, you know, you understand that, I feel like it's life is so much easier.
Do you have any kind of scary experiences, you know, traveling internationally, either from the fans or, you know, a hotel experience when you were on the road?
Well, I remember, oh my God, that's like a good question because it's so much. I mean, I would say going to Japan, when I landed there the first time, I had no idea where I was, what was going on. Culture-wise, it's crazy. But I remember being with the girls in the car. We won the road in the car. How do you say that? The car stopped working. The car wasn't working.
Broke down.
And we were between two towns, and we were like, what are we doing now? So we kind of called 911 because we had no idea what to do, and they out us, but it was kind of embarrassing because we were a bunch of girls, and, you know, we don't know. We don't know cars. We don't know how to work. So those are good stories. And I have a million. I remember calling 911 because we had a car following us too close, and we thought that he was going to try to do something. So we panicked, and we called the police, you know.
That's what happens when you're too sexy, I guess, right?
Oh, my God. Look, there is millions. Like, this we could be talking about this for 2 hours. Insane.
Well, you know, we could always do a part two with you, and we could talk about road stories. That would be interesting.
Oh, my God.
I have to ask you, because obviously I'm sure you've been asked this so many times, but and it keeps popping up. You know, when anybody departs WWE, there's always, are you going to go to TNA? Has there been feelers from TNA? And I know you've been pretty adamant in interviews that you're not interested in going there. Why are you opposed to going to TNA?
I'm not opposed to going to TNA. I just left WWE to pursue other projects. So, to me, I have no interest in going to TNA. I would have just stayed with WWE, you know?
What do you think is the biggest misconception about Maryse?
Misconception. Well, people have seen me for years on TV as a heel, so they think I'm the biggest queen bee in the world, which isn't really for real. This was just a character. And I will meet people in the street sometimes, and they'll say, oh, my God, you're Maryse from you're Maryse, like WWE. I go, yes. And they're like, can I have a picture with you? I'm like, sure, yeah, no problem. And they're like, oh, my God, you're so sweet. And I'm like, why would I? Well, I would think that you would not be sweet. You'd be, like, mean or something. So that's the biggest misconception.
Well, you're a French-Canadian heel. Of course, we think you're going to be a heel in person, you know? So.
Oh, my God, yeah. Some people are almost scared. Like, I'll be like, are you okay? I'm like, oh, boy. I will not fight, you know?
What does the future hold for you? What do you have coming up? And what other projects are you involved in right now?
Well, right now I'm in L.A. I'm working. I have, you know, being in L.A., it's the cinema town. And I love acting. I love being a character. So it's the pilot season. It's very, very busy with that. And I'm working on a big project, Half of Maryse. I'd love to be launching this summer. Basically, it's going to be my collections of jewelry, bikinis, lingerie, and women's accessories. So it's going to be in 400 stores in the state and available online at halfofmaryse.com. And, so that's, like, really exciting. That's one of the biggest projects I've been working on for a while. And, you know, so now I'm free. So I'm doing whatever I want when I want it. And it's very exciting, actually. So we might be talking again this summer when everything comes out.
Well, we would definitely look forward to that because we definitely enjoyed, talking to you today. And as I understand it, you're going to be in Los Angeles. Actually, you're in Los Angeles, but you're going to be at Wrestle Reunion this weekend.
Yes, I'll be at the Westin Hotel by LAX, by the airport. It's a big, nice hotel. We're doing Wrestle Reunion, doing an autograph signing from 2 p.m. to 5 p.m., and we'll be taking photos with fans. And I might be bringing my little new dog. I just got him. His name is Flake. So he'll be with me. He goes everywhere with me.
What kind of dog is it?
It's a mini pincher.
Okay. I thought maybe a French poodle.
Oh, my God. You see, that would be the misconception. That he would think that people would, you know, people would, oh, my God, you're French. You need a French poodle. Absolutely not. And that dog has no edge. I need a dog with an edge. I want a Doberman, the Doberman that I can carry in my suitcases. So it's my toy Minton. He's 4 pounds.
And lastly, how can fans interact with you? I know you're on Twitter? Are you on Facebook? And is there a website that fans can check out to learn more about you?
Mainly in my Twitter. I'm really active in Twitter. I tweet about 20 times a day. So if you really want to, I have a Facebook, but I'm not really, I'm not much on Facebook. I'll be there once a week. So really my Twitter is the main place, and my website, FrenchKissMaurice.com, the sexiest website on the web. That's what I call it.
Of course.
And no, absolutely Twitter. If you want to know everything about me, just go on Twitter, follow me, and yeah, absolutely Twitter. I'm like obsessed with Twitter right now.
Well, I
definitely
follow.
When you hashtag your fan, like in your text messages, when you start to hashtag everything, that's when
right.
You know you're obsessed with Twitter.
Too much time on Twitter. I know. I follow you on Twitter, and I enjoy doing that because obviously you post a lot of your pictures as well. And some of the times we use one of your pictures on the Diva of the Day feature we have up at Gerwick.net. So it's nice to follow you because you always have interesting tweets and fantastic pictures
you.
To look at as well. So.
Yeah, the pick of the day. It's very popular.
Well, Maurice, we appreciate your time tonight. It's been a pleasure to meet you and to talk to you and, you know, get a chance to also, get the word out about, you know, what you're doing and where you're going to be. And we would love to, you know, hook up with you again somewhere down the road again. And we wish you
absolutely.
We wish you and the Miz nothing but the best of luck in all future endeavors.
Oh, Matt. Oh. Totally. That's so cool. Seriously. So, yes, I will be talking to you soon. I'm sure in a few months we'll have more details and everything, and I'll let you know how things are going on. So thanks for having me. That was nice.